Yes, my name is Andrew Berger. I'm a sociology student, PhD student at Utah State University, working in the Population Research Laboratory. And today I'm going to be presenting on a new methodology that we've developed for estimating season-specific influenza vaccination rates within two of our large nationally representative surveys, the BRFSS and the NHIS. Just as a quick disclosure, neither myself nor the second author, Eric Reifer, have any personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months, although, as we were discussing earlier, sometimes it would be nice to be able to disclose something here, especially being a poor graduate student. But getting into the meat of things, I just want to re-emphasize the importance of studying influenza vaccination behavior. Influenza as a disease carries a substantial disease burden within the population, carries a high mortality, morbidity, and economic burden in the United States. So given this fact, it's no wonder that as public health officials were very interested in learning who is not being vaccinated, since it's one of the easiest ways to reduce this disease burden. So how do we go about tracking season-specific flu vaccinations? So why is it important that we track season-specific flu vaccinations? For several different reasons. First off, it provides us an accurate picture of who is and who is not being vaccinated during the flu season. We want to know where disparities exist within the population. Secondly, it's important that we track season-specific flu vaccination behavior, since flu vaccinations themselves are not universal. Some flu seasons are more severe than others. Some seasons have a higher, have a media blitz urging the population to be vaccinated. And thirdly, it's important, especially as public health policy researchers, as we're promoting campaigns and policies to improve vaccination behavior, that we understand if they're effective or not. We want to know if the programs and policies that we implement are effective. So just as further evidence for the case of tracking season-specific influenza vaccination rates, this is just a figure showing the percent of the population vaccinated for non-Hispanic whites and Hispanics in the United States from 2000 to 2008. And as you can see, not all flu seasons are universal. In the 2004 season, which is very obvious, we see a dramatic decrease in the percent of the population vaccinated. During this flu season, there was an extreme shortage of vaccination material. So it's important that we understand that we can break apart these flu seasons separately to understand what is going on in each of them. So how do we do that? Well, I turned to the BRFSS and NHIS, two very large, nationally representative health behavior surveillance surveys. Both of these data sets are very rich in data. However, there are some issues in both of these surveys in terms of tracking and estimating season-specific influenza vaccination rates. Firstly, it's important to realize that both of these surveys collect data throughout the survey year. They begin in January and end in December. However, that's an issue because seasonal influenza epidemics also occur regularly, but they do not start in January and end in December. Instead, they start in October and can last through May or June of the next year. So what we end up with, for example, in the 2011 BRFSS or NHIS, we have a survey which is gathering information on two different flu seasons. We have the tail end of the 2010 flu season, as can be seen right here, and the beginning of the 2011 flu season. Further issues exist due to the question wording, measuring vaccination behavior. In both of these surveys, they ask respondents if in the previous 12 months they've received a flu vaccine. Well, if you have respondents in January or February answering that question, they could potentially even be reporting their vaccination for previous to the prior flu season. So they could, for the 2011 BRFSS or NHIS, they could be reporting a vaccine for the 2009 flu season. So what this means is that each wave of these nationally representative surveys is likely including information on up to three distinct flu seasons. This is problematic if we want to make proper estimations of one flu season in particular, the previous year's flu season. Well, we discovered that we can greatly reduce this noise caused by including respondents reporting a vaccination for different flu seasons by limiting response by their survey month. Because of the regular occurrence of seasonal flu epidemics, because they do occur at the same time, roughly the same time every year, we can manipulate this data, the BRFSS or NHS, to yield a more representative subsample of the previous year's flu season by limiting respondents by their interview month. So it stands to reason that individuals interviewed during the first three quarters of the survey year, from January to September, are likely not reporting an influenza vaccination for that current year's flu season. So if we only focus on respondents interviewed from January through September, we're likely gathering mostly information on individuals who are reporting a vaccination for the previous year's flu season. And this is the methodology that I am advocating. So, but what have other people done? Well, there's four other different approaches, including my own, on how to estimate season-specific influenza vaccinations, which I'll be discussing. Firstly was a method presented in Lin et al. 2010, where they used the 2008 BRFSS to estimate vaccination disparities in the 2007 flu season. They do not limit the respondents by interview month and instead use the entire survey wave. And as we've just discussed, that could be problematic. Secondly is an article published by Liu et al. 2009, also using the BRFSS, and they limit the respondents from months February to August to make their estimations of the previous year's flu season. Stetsy et al. 2011 is a publication looking at vaccination disparities from 2000 to 2010, and they filtered the respondents, or they only used respondents interviewed from March to August. And of course, the method that I'm advocating was published in Berger et al. 2011, which uses interview months January through September. So, how do each of these methods compare? Well, I have a little visual representation, which I'm going to skip this slide, to show you here. So this figure is showing the aggregate data from the 2009 to 2011 BRFSS. And basically what we have are three different rows. The first row right here is the pre-target year flu season. So for example, if we were to suppose this was the 2011 BRFSS, these individuals would be those who reported a vaccine in the 2009 flu season. This large proportion of respondents right here, I call the target flu season. If this was the 2011 BRFSS, these would be individuals who received the vaccine in the 2010 flu season. And then we have post-target year flu season vaccinations. These would be individuals in the 2011 BRFSS, for example, who received the vaccination in the 2011 flu season. So all of these waves of the BRFSS are very similar in terms of their representation of pre-target year flu season, target year flu season, and post-target year flu season. But as you can see, the majority of respondents are reporting a vaccination for the target flu season, for the previous year's flu season. And I have this broken down by interview month. So the first method, Lin et al. 2010, they include all respondents. You can easily see here that this is problematic, as they're including a large chunk of individuals from October through January, who are reporting a flu vaccine for the post-target year flu season. We can easily clean this up some. The second methodology, presented in Liu et al. 2009, they recognize this. They recognize that if we limit respondents, if we kind of exclude the last quarter of the respondents, we can clean the representativeness of our subsample. However, their choice of months is somewhat problematic. They exclude the month of September, which you can see here includes a large proportion of individuals reporting a vaccine for the target year flu season. Additionally, they exclude individuals in the month of January, and they don't provide a rationale for this, but I believe what their thinking was is that they would be excluding individuals who are reporting a vaccination for the pre-target year flu season. But you can see that that's such a small percent, and they lose a large number of respondents reporting a vaccine for the target year flu season. Setsi et al. 2011 follows very similar to Liu et al. They exclude individuals from September through December, but they also exclude individuals who were interviewed from January. Where's my mouse? From January to February. Again, I believe the rationale was that they would be excluding individuals who reported vaccine for the pre-target year flu season. But in reality, they're just losing a lot of individuals reporting a vaccine for the target year flu season. And the method that I'm advocating, Berger et al. 2011, I believe is the best balance between accuracy and statistical power. By excluding individuals interviewed from October through December, we're getting rid of a lot of this noise caused by including individuals for the post-target year flu season and retaining a large chunk of individuals reporting a vaccine for the target year flu season. So let's look at some numbers, since this is put on by the statistical organization. You know, we want to see numbers. So this is just a breakdown, again, of Table 1, showing the number of respondents and which flu season they belong to. What's important to look at is right here. So in Lin et al. 2010, they create a sample, which is 75-76% of individuals reporting a vaccine for the target year flu season. So you can think almost that as being almost 25% error. We're including 23.42% of individuals who are not accurate, who are not representing the flu season of interest. The method presented Berger et al., the one I'm advocating, by limiting response from January to September, produces a sample where 97% of respondents are representing the target year flu season. Liu et al. 2009 does slightly better, 98%, and Setzi et al., 98.25%. However, the issue with Liu et al. And Setzi et al. Appears right here, when you look at the percent of individuals retained from the target year flu season. So the method in Berger et al. Retains 92% of those original respondents reporting a flu vaccine for the target year flu season. Liu et al. 2009 and Setzi et al. 2011, due to their choice in interview months that they used, only retained 75% and then 64%, greatly reducing their statistical power. So how does this method compare when using the NHIS? Just some background on the NHIS. It's also nationally representative. Instead of phone surveys, the NHIS is conducted through face-to-face surveys. And beginning in 2005, they begin to ask response the month and year when they receive the flu vaccine, so we can look at from 2005 on and compare to see how this method works. So this figure right here is a cumulative area graph showing the number of respondents reporting a flu vaccine by interview quarter. So NHIS public data does not give information about the month in which respondents were interviewed. Instead, they break it up by interview quarter, which is easy then to use to translate into the method presented Berger et al. January through September is the same as quarters 1 through 3. So as you can see in this graph, by focusing on individuals interviewed from quarters 1 through 3, we do end up with a very representative sample of individuals from the target year flu season, with a very small percent being showing up for the non-target flu season. So again, how does this look in the numbers? Well, as you can see right here, by limiting response by the first 3 interview quarters, we produce a sample which is 96.5%. representative of the target year flu season, while retaining 87% of those original respondents reporting a flu vaccine for the target flu season. So basically, the method works in both surveys quite well. So just a little bit of a recap. This new method, first presented Berger et al. 2011, states that by limiting respondents to those interviewed from January through September, we can produce a more accurate representation of vaccination behavior for the previous year's flu season. And both of these methods work well in the BRFSS and NHIS. So again, in conclusion, using interview months January through September is the best balance of accuracy and statistical power in comparison to these other methods in accurately estimating the previous year's flu season. Are there limitations to this? Of course. This is a good example of barnyard statistics, right? This is an imperfect method for imperfect data. It would be much easier if these large, nationally representative health surveys were to change the wording in how they measure vaccination status. If they would ask respondents, since September of whatever year have you received a flu vaccination, we would have a yes or no answer, and we would know if the respondent did or did not receive a flu vaccine during a specific flu season, eliminating the need for all of this mumbo jumbo. And of course, it'd be nice if they asked a question if do they intend to receive an influenza vaccination during the flu season, given that both of these surveys are cross-sectional, it would be nice to know what the response we're planning to do in the future. So just some acknowledgments. I'd like to thank the Department of Sociology at Utah State University, also the Office of Research and Graduate Studies. And I'd also like to thank the CDC for providing some great free domain images to use in my slide. Thank you.